Audioversity, the voice of Reichman University.
Real Life, where the real meets your life. With Eliezer Lev, Ezra Snuggle, Daniel Dolphin, and Mendel Zlotnick.
What is up, guys? My name is Eliezer Lev. I'm here in the Audioversity studios with my good friends, Ezra Snuckle.
What's up?
Daniel Dolphin.
How y'all doing?
And Mendel Zlotnick.
Salutations.
So you have tuned in to Real Life. Now that is R-E-E-L Life, because in this podcast, we discuss movies, we discuss TV, we discuss theater, we discuss everything that can possibly go on a reel.
Pretty much.
Technically anything can go on a reel.
Maybe something else that can go on a reel.
We are not. You can discuss your own videos.
I want something specific.
You can throw underwear on a reel.
No. That's not what we mean.
You can.
Yes. If we're talking technically.
All right. If you're making blanket statements, I'm going to call you on it. You know, you can't. We don't talk about everything that goes on a reel.
You know what? You're right.
We talk about what we watch that goes on a reel.
Yes. Yes. Things that are known as popular culture that are on reels.
Yes.
I think underwear is popular culture.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay, but the
point
underwear
is popular culture.
It is. Yep. It is pretty popular to wear underwear. Actually,
it is pretty
not
popular.
In my circles, but in
I know it's
okay
not
for
circles.
You two chatterboxes. The main point is when we talk about pop culture on reel, we mean probably one of the most unifying conversations that people can have. Politics aside,
women.
Everything aside, women aside, everything. No one cares about movies. It's movies.
What are you talking about?
No
movies.
One
nothing
cares
matters
about any problems in the world. The movie's either good, the movie's either bad, and everyone sits down to have a conversation about it. And sometimes people feel like they don't have what to say.
Right.
And so we're here to pretty much simulate.
Exactly
what is supposed to
happen. Feed words into your mouths.
Yes, we give you the information and the tools that you'll need in order to have those conversations and not sound like a complete and utter idiot.
And what we think you should look out for.
Yes, yes. And we let you know what we think about certain topics, genres, movies themselves. You know, last week we did a Doctor Strange breakdown where Mendel, Ezra, and I really dove into the movie and...
Yeah. I tore it apart and you guys put it back together.
For the fact that we are, for the first time, on camera.
Woo!
And what happens when a director wants to start rolling? He yells, lights.
Camera.
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 Action.
So we have all three of those in that podcast.
Unless they're not filming in English.
We have lights.
We got lights
there
for this
lights.
Episode. Generally, we have no cameras, so why have lights?
Exactly.
We have lights.
We have cameras.
We have cameras.
And we will be discussing our favorite action movies. We will be discussing our favorite action movies. Now, these are action, not action adventure, not action comedies.
If I'm being honest, mine's an action adventure.
Action comedies.
No.
There aren't a lot of options.
Well,
Daniel,
if we're going to be honest, when was the last time you actually stick to the rules, okay?
You also broke the rules. We have very similar movies
in
that sense.
You guys both break the rules. This is the criteria. The criteria is...
Also, now we're being strict with the rules?
Screw the rules. I'm saying the criteria of this podcast, this specific episode, is if you were to go into YouTube... For that adrenaline rush of finding a good action scene, something that gets your blood pumping, we're looking for that movie.
Oh, okay. So it's the post-apocalyptic movie that worked. I mean, it worked way back in, you know, when Mel Gibson starred in it, and then due to, obviously, Mel Gibson being Mel Gibson.
We all still love that guy. That aged well.
They had to replace him and recast him with the great and... A lovable and unbelievable actor that we all love today, Tom Hardy.
I was still thinking Kevin Costner, Waterworld.
He's the Kevin Costner that worked. You know,
He's the Mel Gibson that worked.
Well, Mel Gibson also worked. I'm saying the movies was good.
As Jews, we got to kind of trash him when we can.
We do
get him back for the Passion of the Christ and all.
South Park did that enough for us.
Fair.
So basically,
in the world of Mad Max Fury Road, water and gasoline are scarce commodities, and there's a psycho insane monster truck cult leading dictator named Immortan Joe, who somehow is in control of one of the last few final supplies, significant supplies of water, fruit, gasoline, and milk. Where does he get the milk from? Girls. Don't ask me why.
Okay.
He has a baby farm.
Yeah, yes. He has a baby farm. He has five beautiful wives, all basically played by like supermodels. One of them actually is Zoe Kravitz.
Oh.
Yeah. It's basically like, it's like George Miller, the director, took like the five best looking actresses he could find and was just like, all right, you're this ugly, scarred, deformed dictator's wives. Have fun. And so
you guys are living.
Yeah, you can obviously assume that their life isn't so great. They're kind of they basically live in a vault.
Compared to how the rest of the society is living, they're actually like they're living their best life.
Right. They're not you know,
the alternative is having no water and no money.
But they're objects. Like that's the whole point in the beginning of the movie where they were on the wall like we are not things. Like,
yeah,
you know?
But at the same time, like all right, if you're not there, then you're gonna be under him with everybody else where they're like killing each other for some water.
Or you're going to be under him.
Like, they were still complacent in all the terrible things he did.
I think it's actually stupid to like think whenever, even if someone's living in a perfect utopia and their option is either to be a slave in utopia free in dystopia, sex slave, whatever kind of slave you are,
any slave,
thing where you restrict the freedom. Think about in today's day and age where people literally have so much at their fingertips and they still try find ways to physically and mentally break free of things that inhibit them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just a human concept. Whether, as Loki says, we are meant to serve or not, we don't know, but it's a natural thing that humans tend to want freedom.
Right. No, I totally agree.
They want freedom and rules at the same time. So it's a very weird thing because humans need structure, but at the same time, they want the ability to break that structure if they want.
We want freedom to do what we want, but we also require
you need something that keeps you focused and like gets you going.
We need sort of order. Structure.
Yeah.
Who knew Mad Max was so philosophical?
My dad, if I'm not mistaken, was into it. I don't remember. I think there was a comic before the movies came out. I'm not sure about that. I didn't really go back too much
I'm
into
sure
the back history of it.
There words on paper.
But a lot of the thing of Mad Max was like the psychology behind it was literally based off of let's predict what humans would be like in this situation. Otherwise, how does a movie come out? Great.
Yeah.
If you can't put the human elements into it.
It's shocking, like, you know, how, like you said, how humanity in this film is depicted and how everyone's turned out. You have, there's one scene at the end where you see the, you know, different perspectives from like the poor people, the people who are impoverished and they're living in the desert. And one of them is basically like he's an amputee, like he has no legs, and he's living in what looks like a makeshift shell. And it comes off as like, we are like crustaceans in the desert.
I mean,
like, I don't know if that's what George Miller was going for. I could show you the clip after, but it really comes off like we are no less human than the crab in the desert anymore. Like, that's how low society hits.
I think that also has to do with mutations. Like, even
but mutations isn't a
Morton
thing.
Joe
in...
was super mutated. Yeah,
no, he was grotesque. He was.
A lot of the humans had mutations.
Mad Max is based on
a post-nuclear apocalypse.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's why there's a lot of people with mutations there.
Oh, I thought it was like deformalities. His skin's peeling off and stuff like that.
All of it is from nuclear waste.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, he's still pretty gross. Anyways,
well, those also came from more use of
Chernobyl.
Yeah, like from...
Really? I was just saying
that. No.
Nuclear particles influencing the genes of...
So how did, like, Wolverine be born? How was he born in the 1850s?
Meaning, right. No. 100%. There were mutants that came naturally, but these, the more modern mutants, the reason that there's so many, like, there's so much more and they're all coming so quickly
is because... The lifespan of people... was raised? I don't know.
Because of the radiation.
In radiation and nuclear.
It brought out the X-gene in a lot more people.
In like Ukraine right now or something.
Yeah.
Get some radiation.
All right. Anyways. So he's in control of these five women, his five wives, and the co-lead, Imperator Furiosa, played by the great South African Charlize Theron. Theron.
Theron, I believe.
Theron.
Who's basically one of, like, Immortan Joe's top lieutenants, takes one of the war rigs, one of these basically mechanicalized monster trucks,
a big
diesel
truck.
Trucks, a really big truck that has machine
like
guns and spikes, an 18-wheeler.
If
with...
you've ever seen something like Death Race or Monster
yeah,
Trucks,
yeah.
it's like that. They've like kitted
it's like
them
that,
out to
but a
be
limousine
like...
version.
Yeah,
it's
they're basically
it's a black 18-wheeler
that holds
with
a lot
like
of gas.
Six machine gun turrets on it, right? So she sets off with the
guns.
You know, under the guise that she's going to get the town to get Immortan Joe more bullets and gasoline from the
bullet farm
from the bullet farm and gasoline town. Don't ask me why they're called that.
Because you get bullets.
Seems
and gas.
Really
yeah.
self-explanatory.
Seems pretty self-explanatory.
These guys knew what they were doing when they were naming stuff.
And then he finds out. Oh, you know, my vault's open and my wives are gone. So
he let the dog out.
He and his legion of religious zealot war dogs, basically these extremely pale
stormtroopers,
but they're just like hairless. They don't eat or drink, and when they're like low on blood, they'll basically just take. Some dude that's
well, no,
not.
That, he was injured, and that's why he had to do it.
They'll take
no,
a blood. No,
he would take a blood. They take
it's,
one of the.
It's
they
always
take,
they do it. They, okay, yeah. What happens is
no,
that
but
basically
he was injured,
no,
that's why he needed
hold
the
on,
blood.
Wait, what I'll explain to you.
Yeah,
what happens is that every now and then, periodically, they need a refill on blood because these guys are obviously they're people who are the warriors, and they're not getting enough sustainability.
There's
to
no
be,
water. There's no.
They're
food.
Not getting the sustenance.
They're not eating anything.
They're not getting the sustenance to do it. So regularly, periodically, they fill up on blood. The specific case
like
where Tom Hardy comes in is that his driver wants to get in. He wants to drive.
Right.
And
he needs the blood because he was injured.
And he needs the blood because he was injured.
So they tie
so
him onto the rig.
I got that
yeah,
part.
Yeah.
I got that part. I just didn't know it was like common use to like
yeah,
just
yeah.
hook guys
they,
up with
they,
the blood bag.
They literally
nothing about this is common use.
They literally discuss it like it's a term, like a thing. He's like,
hey, blood bag.
He's like, I'm going to drive. And they're like, no, you can't drive. Well, you need just... blood. He's like, well, I'll bring my blood bag and I'll tie him on. Like, he's no longer human. He is a bag of blood for him to re-nourish and resupply and be able to drive more. Like, that's the whole point. Like, anyone that's not in the cult is, like, open game for, like, fresh blood. And that's how the movie starts. The movie starts with them
chasing
Max,
yeah,
blowing up his car. And
well,
then
it still worked.
Eventually taking him. Right. They it's in the shop, right? He jumps over it in a really cool scene. Anyways, so what then carries out is this basically two-hour film, right? The plot basically sets up the set piece. And the set piece is this two-hour film of a road chase, of a massive car chase where you've got Furiosa's war rig, and coming after her is Immortan Joe, his monster truck,
and his legion of
Badass vehicles, including
the Gas Town boys and the Bullet Farm
boys, and this massive. This is my favorite part of the movie. This massive, like. Super tall car that has like 17 drummers with like big war drums and this dude who apparently according to the credits was wearing his mother's face and he's in like this red onesie kind of looks like Wanda from Wanda on Halloween and he's just playing guitar.
With like fire coming out of it.
With like fire coming out of the guitar. Good. And he's like the motivator. Like they're all driving.
He's
there's
like
no,
Caleb from Barstool Sports, you know? He's president of morale or whatever.
He's legit president of morale. There's no there is parts and that have like a soundtrack, but there are parts where there's literally no soundtrack and all you hear is
You get to a thing where like the intensity of the movie picks up and
yeah.
obviously
yeah.
they
the
match
drums are going,
that with, they match that with like an intense
and
with an intense
guitar
music
solo
as well.
And guitar riff and it's
that's what any good movie
insane.
Does
it's insane
yeah but this is showing it in right. a very rowdy
great performances by Charlize and by good old Tom Hardy
definitely
Timothy Hardy
it's the kind of movie and I think this is something that is
Timothy
sort of like the formula for a really good action movie, not like an action adventure, not action sci-fi, an action movie where it's less about the plot. The plot sort of sets up the movie, right? Like with Mendel's movie is going to talk about. If you think about it, the plot sets it up. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple plot, and then it just leads to a symphony of awesomeness. And that's what they do here. They set up this plot. They give you the world. You know, for those who didn't grow up with Mel Gibson's Mad Max, you're immediately introduced to what life is, what life is like there, and the stunts. The stunts, the explosions, the action, the music, the guitar. I love the guitar. The guitar. It's an unbelievable experience. It's not even just like watching a movie. Like you, like I said, I really felt like I was at like the live show in Universal Studios where mm-hmm. the explosions are happening right in front of my face. And if you want to say, oh, you know, props to CGI, go look on YouTube. Watch
it's mostly
the stunts.
Practical effects.
It is practical effects. These cars are real. They built these cars. These cars are real. It's practical effects. You see the scene where Max's car very early on gets like flipped and there's like a whole, you know, mm-hmm. tumult and like a, you know, just rolls over and over and over in the desert. Totally happened. Mamash, like real scene. It's an unbelievable movie. And yeah, I think it's a really fun time. So anyone who hasn't seen it, check it out. It is amazing.
I think everybody's heard of Star Trek, right? Whether yes. you actually know what's happening or not. You got this guy, Captain Kirk. He's a captain. All right, you got this guy, Spock, first mate, you know?
He's Spock.
But this movie is about the origins of that. It starts off before Kirk was even born.
I can't do it with the other
hand. I can't do it either. I'm not a Cohen.
What, this guy?
Can still do it.
No. I could make my hand do it. Like
live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Oh, unless you're trying to engage in minimalistic
fisticuffs.
Leonard Nimoy!
That's right. Live long and prosper. So yeah, this goes back to before Chris Kirk was Chris Pine. Sorry, Captain Kirk was born. So like it starts off on the USS McAllister, I think. 25 years prior to the actual start of the movie or whatever.
Okay.
30. And it's, you know, it's Chris Hemsworth. He's making around all these universes. He's Kirk's dad.
So Chris is Chris's dad.
Chris is Chris's dad.
Nice.
So, you know, he's got the baby. Baby's born. Dad dies. Sad story. Dad, kid grows up without a real dad. He has a stepdad or whatever, you know. But not a good parental figure.
Right.
Obviously.
All right. Skip 20, 25, 30 years later in the future. You got this guy drinking in bars, picking up girls. Like, he's a genius farm boy, you know?
Yeah.
Then he starts... He meets
picking
this
up,
girl
like, alien girls, right?
Yeah, he hits on everyone, you know?
Well, Star Trek... It's
no, I know.
Equal opportunity.
Opportunity. No.
In terms of aliens, not
race. Can I
race.
Say this? He
Wait,
was Star-Lord before Star-Lord was Star-Lord.
So, you know, it skips to, like, Chris Pine trying to get with Zoe Saldana and in this bar. And, you know, she's dressed up in her uniform. She's in Starfleet. And then these four guys are like, hey, you bothering her? He's like, nah, but I could be, you know? And whatever, they want to get into some minimalistic fisticuffs. All right? So he's like, yo, we got four guys.
The
four
word of the day, folks.
It's more like the word of the mindset of the day, you know? Anyway, so this guy who comes up with his three friends was like, there's four of us, one of you. What you going to do about it? He's like, go get a few more guys. It'll be a fair fight. All right? You got Chris Pine with the swagger. He's a little drunk. He's feeling frisky. And he starts fighting. He does really well until he, like, you know, accidentally gropes Zoe Saldana. And then she slaps him and he loses the fight. But he totally had that otherwise.
Yeah.
So he's getting his ass pounded in. And then Captain Pike walks in and saves the day. You know, Captain Pike's an old friend of his dad's. They're boys. He ends up talking him into joining Starfleet. And from there, it just skyrockets. He cheats. He gets in trouble. He saves the day. It's a whole shebang. But
does he, like, steal a ship? Or is that, like,
he does steal a ship.
He does steal a ship.
He steals a few ships,
he steals
I'm sure.
a few ships.
Yeah.
Like
he's a pirate.
He's a bad boy.
He's a space pirate.
Daniel?
Yes.
How is this the best...
So,
action movie.
I was going to take Mad Max because you're very limited when it has to be mostly about action, right?
Right.
So that cuts it down a lot. Then Mad Max, very safe bet. You know it's going to be good. You know it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of room for debate.
Right.
And then you have Star Trek, which is something I grew up, like, I guess in 2009 I first saw. I watched it with my dad. I grew up, like, as also, like, I got older, we watched rerun, like, we watched it over. We watched the new ones, you know? So, like, it's like a movie I can always go back and watch. Great action, a lot of fun, quotable lines. You know, it's a fun time. It's a safe bet. And when you just speak about action movies and not action comedy or action drama, or if you're trying to stay away from the thrillers or whatever, mm-hmm. then honestly, like, it gets pretty one-dimensional and there's not a lot to a movie.
Right.
So you do have to, like, whatever, maneuver around that a little bit. You have to play around with it a bit. And that's why, like, I think Mad Max and Star Trek are pretty similar in that way. Like, they're a lot about adventure and, like, future and whatever, but, like, there is a lot of action, like... Okay. It's okay, Kong in the action.
So not to take anything away from Star Trek.
I know you love doing that. So go on.
I'm not. I think
shots fired. Wow. Fisticuffs.
So salty though. I think Star Trek's an amazing movie.
I appreciate that.
And I like the comparison because it does show and emphasize that it's not all about, you know, the hand-to-hand combat.
It's not all about hand-to-hand. I agree with you there.
It could be with the vehicles. It could be with the machinery. It is very subjective. The one thing I will try to differentiate between the two movies. I think that Star Trek was a little more,
a much bigger fan base. That was an issue. Yeah. Right? There's so much more relevance. Thinking.
I think Star Trek is great for a lot of reasons, and one of them is the action. But I think that the dialogue, I think the acting, I think the there's some also, like, you know, some really nice homages paid to, you know, the previous Star Trek films and television, right, with old Spock and young Spock and their conversation. And I think that's really, really special things that a lot of fans got to see. In a film like Mad Max, I think that proportion-wise, the reason for its success and the reason for why it's a great movie, it falls a little more on the action, meaning it doesn't have as much homage, doesn't have as much plot, doesn't have as much, not a lot of dialogue, doesn't have a ton of dialogue. It's a lot more focused on the action. Now, I'm not trying to take away from Star Trek, but I'm just comparing and contrasting between the two movies.
So what you want in an action movie is very little plot and all action.
Just fighting.
No, I'm saying that if I'm...
Have you looked into UFC?
Well said. Well said. I mean, honestly, that's probably that's straight up.
No, what I meant was that if I personally was going to pick the best action, I think Star Trek is 100% up for best sci-fi movie of the, you know, of the 2000s.
I put that up there.
I think it's definitely in that conversation. I think it's definitely better than the three prequels we got of the in Star Wars. I would make that claim.
I'd disagree, but I would say we're not going to do that right now.
But
that's a different argument.
That's a whole other episode. Like,
as a just action movie, I think that I know what Mendel's going to take. I think that that represents the solo action genre a little more, and I would argue that mine represents the solo action genre a little more.
I would like to say I think what you're saying makes sense,
mm-hmm.
and I would say that you're more in the middle between. I mean, we both know what he's going to pick,
right?
You're more in the middle between the two of us,
mm-hmm.
but I have to say I don't want to say much about your thing because I don't want to ruin it. But
yeah,
no, it's okay.
I do think in the case where, like, it's just action versus having other things to the story,
right?
I think it's so important to have other parts of the story because the action will not get everybody in, right? It will not bring everybody to the movie.
So that's what
it
I'm saying.
Will not make a great movie unless it's amazing action.
So that's what I'm saying. I think that's one of the things that made Mad Max and Mendel's movie
Mad Max also
really, really good.
It was about hope. It was about adventure.
Mendel, you made
There's
a movie?
There's a lot of other stuff to Mad Max.
Yes.
Yeah, but and I didn't love it. I didn't think it was a great movie.
Not the kind of movie for children.
Yours, I think, was amazing.
Okay.
And it had other parts to it.
So... I personally love Star Trek. It's my third favorite franchise. So, like I said, yours is one of my top favorite franchises, and mainly because it is science fiction and I love science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And great actors, great action. Exactly. Great action.
Great action.
But
not just the fisticuffs.
Not just the fisticuffs, but I would say that the level of action doesn't meet what Mad Max and
that's exactly
what Mendel's pick does, but
I'm asking. I'm curious why. Is it the height
the volume.
It reaches or the volume?
The volume.
No, fine.
Not even the volume. I would say the height it reaches because, like, I'm saying, like the actual, like, thrill of each fight.
Yeah, I would say there's thrill to I can like
no
I can
I'm
think
not arguing
small fights that were cool, right? Like
right.
The bar fight, the one on the tractor beam, the one of him fighting that in Romulan where he's like. Got your gun, bam.
So
the guy falls, like, that shit's cool.
I'm not disagreeing that it's cool.
Perfect.
I'm just saying that it's not as cool, in my opinion, it's not as cool as the other two movies.
Can I propose an idea? Would you say that Star Trek, the action is more dependent on the plot versus in Mad Max, the plot is more dependent on the action.
Action is, yeah, is a consequence of the plot in Star Trek, for sure. Yeah.
And when you said it, I think it's more the other way around, that the plot is a bit more of a consequence. No, it's not.
I think it always is. But the plot
it's changes.
It's what leads you to the action.
Right.
It's not the action leading you to a plot.
But the plot in Star Trek changes course in several ways, that the action is...
Well, no.
When
the
there's
the day,
action, it's dependent on the plot. Versus, like,
the
in
plot
Mad Max,
to save
the
life.
Plot
that's,
in the beginning
the
led to the action, and then the action just, like, did whatever the heck it wanted.
Right. So I personally like... the plot drives the action more because it feels like a real story as opposed to two kids sitting at home with their
I generally agree with you. As a writer, I think the story
I'm Geralt. I'm Scarlet Witch.
As a
that
writer,
better dialogue than most of Mad Max.
Eliezer, as a writer, I totally agree with you. I think that the plot is fundamental. I think that's one of the amazing things of this kind of movie, that it wasn't as fundamental. It worked. The action was so good on its own, and that was a reason to come because it's so impressive. It feels like you're watching a spectacle.
Okay. All right. So I disagree, but everyone has their opinions, as we've seen.
It's pretty much a let's agree to disagree.
Mendel, let's hear your opinion, man.
Okay, so on the subject of agreeing to disagree, I went with John Wick.
John Wick.
Woo-hoo! John
Can
Wick.
Can you do your fisticuffs thingy again?
John Wick. Okay, and I'll tell you why. I think that when I thought about, I guess this is my own opinion, but I do feel strongly that a lot of people would agree with me. When I thought action movie, I thought, what is a movie I watched where there's just endless violence? No, that is the most literally like.
That is the most literal.
If we go back to traditional manly man. You know, masculinity,
John
everything
Wayne.
Like thing. Like, this is the penultimate movie that.
Pinnacle, not penultimate.
Penultimate.
Penultimate is second to last.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I thought
so glad we have a communications major with us to teach us these things.
No. Okay. I learned that as like an eighth grader.
All right.
I didn't. I learned that today.
Pinnacle.
So, the pinnacle. It's the pinnacle of all action movies. And I'll say why. Okay. Brief plot. I don't want to get too much into it.
A lot of people die.
Yeah, a lot of people. Okay, we get a former assassin, John Wick.
You could probably do it on
Keanu Reeves also, so you know he's a nice guy.
Okay, so let's go quickly through the actors. Keanu Reeves is John Wick, okay? John Wick is a former assassin. Former assassin. I say he's a former assassin because his wife, unfortunately, died of cancer, and her last gift to him was a dog.
Well, no, that wasn't why he was a former assassin because he met the wife. He wanted to stop being an assassin.
Yes.
Then they got married, had a beautiful time.
Yes.
When I say he's a former assassin, because he died,
stopped being an assassin when he met her. Okay, so then what we have is basically a group of Russian mobsters trying to steal, originally just to buy, you know, exert their authority and try to buy his 1969 Mustang. Which is Iosif Tarasov, played by Alfie Allen. So he is like the Russian mob prince. What they do is they come in, they trash his house, they steal his Mustang, and they kill his dog. Now, for John Wick, that being the last gift that his dead wife left him,
Well, she was alive at the time again.
Yes.
It wasn't a ghost
she
sending
gave
him a dog.
She gave
the last gift before she
that
died.
That was the penultimate thing I wanted to hear.
that was her penultimate gift.
Second to last thing that she did.
Fair enough.
That, then,
fair enough. Okay, so basically what happens is now John Wick goes on a revenge streak. Now, obviously this Russian mobster's dad is all like, yo, what did you do? You seriously fucked up. Like big time.
Like he slapped
him and everything. This is a guy who in our business we call the boogeyman. You know, this is the baddest of bad guys. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's now, the guy who you would send to kill the boogeyman.
Yes, this is the guy you'd literally send to kill the boogeyman. So, okay, I'm just going to quickly go over. Basically, he goes on a whole killing streak. When I say a whole killing streak, I mean this guy literally.
This 74 guy, deaths in the first movie.
This guy literally goes apeshit. And what I loved about it is that the specific action, the specific action sequence that we've got in this movie is a relatable action sequence. This is something that's not outside of human possibility.
Right.
This is something where people are using guns that we know, fists that we know, moves that we know. This is all things that are physically possible, bound within the laws of physics, reality, and modern day knowledge. That's what I absolutely love about it, because this gives every viewer the feeling that if
they
I
can be John Wick.
Yeah, I could be John Wick. Like, if I'm just saying, if I went through some shit and I just started going on this whole like revenge thing sometime in my life and I became the ultimate assassin, I'm just saying it is possible.
I'd pay to see that. I'd pay to see you going through Johannesburg, gunning down the African mafia.
You wouldn't be alive to see it. Dun dun dun. I'm joking. I wouldn't take a hit on you.
Yeah, you would.
Not enough money. Not enough money. I'm joking.
Yeah, the South African mafia, otherwise known as Chabad.
Give me away our secrets. Okay, so basically, I just want to go. My favorite character in the movie, I love John Wick.
Is
my
his favorite character?
No. Oh. Is Lance Reddick, who plays the hotel manager.
Okay.
Firstly, his voice is super robotic, which I love, but also just like his character. Just, I don't know. He does it well. In every movie I've seen him in, he does it well. But I think just in this movie, he's that one little glue that kind of sticks everything, that molds it together.
Yeah.
Just kind of brings everything back and calm down. You know, I'm a hotel manager, but I'm badass.
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy. Basically, obviously, in the end, everyone dies except John Wick. He manages to kill them all. But we see a lot of mortality. We see a lot of how John Wick gets injured throughout it. That it's
not
possible
really
to die. No, he does. He gets injured.
He gets injured and then he like takes a pill and puts on a suit and like he's 100% again.
Not 100%. He's just really badass.
The adrenaline is pushing him.
So the point that I went through earlier, the reason why I think this is the best action movie is because within the realms of natural limitation that you and I can understand, not something that's fantasy, not something that's sci-fi, which I don't have anything against. It's probably my favorite genre. It is my favorite genre. I think that this is the best action movie because it literally shows a human being doing human being shit at the highest level.
And it's awesome.
So, and it's awesome. And fisticuffs. Fist to face. There is a lot of raw violence in this movie. And when I think about action, and I'm pretty sure when you think about action, and you, the first thought that comes to mind, the first thought before you could even be like, oh, let me be subjective, the first thought that comes to mind is violence.
Anyway, I would like to say something about that.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, 95% of what was happening in your movie versus like ours, for example, more likely to happen for sure. But that 5% of him being an unkillable assassin with all this infrastructure and like every 30th person in New York is an assassin or something. All right, that's like, I'm sorry, his thing with like nuclear war and dystopia, that's more likely.
It's an unrealistic reality.
Yes, but so is anything we're doing.
No.
This is basically what they've done in this.
I understand what they've done. I've seen the movie many times.
No. The point I'm trying to bring out is that this is within human capability
right
here and now.
This is
it's more like okay,
not if not, you were not just really take, not at the organization. They have the amount of like the way they
no not the organization, not the organization,
so
not
saying,
all that sort of stuff.
I'm talking about the movie as a whole. I'm not saying John Wick's abilities.
No, I'm saying if you think
Commander Kirk's abilities. For that world also.
It's a lot more plausible.
No, so he's saying
a lot
for
more
this world. For the world that we live in.
Again, for the world we live in, I'd go with his thing.
All of
what?
The,
even I know that's
for today.
Poppycock.
100 years from now.
If we found
like,
out.
It's more likely to happen.
No,
than
no.
If
John
we
Wick
found
stuff
out that the events of John Wick happened today in Manhattan.
I would be shocked.
I wouldn't be as shocked as either of your movies.
So let's. I just want to quickly break down the core of what I wanted to bring to this and why I think fist to
any part of the body, really.
Almost. The reason why I think this is the core and the essence of it is I'm going to go back to the caveman theory, club smash on the head, rock smash on the head, and eventually we
gun
evolve.
Gun shoot head.
No, and then we eventually evolve, Spear, bow and arrow, sword, gun, cannon, spaceship,
machine gun,
and we could go into all things in the future, and eventually it leads to a part where all of these things are within the realm of violence, the human capability for violence, terrifying, but at the same time we can understand that there's a certain trajectory that it's heading in. Now, I think that if we're going to put a pin in it somewhere in the most relatable way for human beings currently in day-to-day, when I say, okay, we're looking at a movie, super action, we're looking at something here like John Wick, where it doesn't seem so far out of the realm of possibility that someone could possess abilities like that. When I say abilities, I'm not talking about superpowers. I'm just talking about a particular set of skills. Not taken skills, better than taken skills.
So Liam Neeson
right,
kind
but
of
it's,
skills.
It's something objective. It's better. Something that the audience or the viewer has to pick themselves. Because you may be in the mood for a hand-to-hand combat movie, or maybe in the mood for something that involves stunts and involves that.
I agree with you. Sometimes,
I think it depends. I agree with you that in general, hand-to-hand combat is usually the more primary go-to approach for an action movie.
Yeah.
Right? We talk about...
That's literally my point.
I mean, it's also the most barbaric go-to. Right?
It
allows
you
to get the most...
A lot of the time, that's what I said.
But with that said, I think that just puts even more on Mad Max for the fact that you did something that's a little out of the norm, and it worked really, really well.
Yes, I agree.
That's why I would put it on top of all of those really good action movies. Because it did something that other people couldn't do. It did something that tons and tons of $1 million and Kevin Costner tried to do, and it still didn't work.
I agree that it's a great movie. I don't think it's the best out of all of them. But I agree with you. Fantastic movie. Kudos to them for going outside the box. But I think that there's a very traditional sense of what an action movie is, and this took the cake of it. When I think about it, you go onto YouTube, I'm going to look at things where we've got like armies crashing into each other, we've got battle scenes from World War II that guys become nuts and freaks over, we talked about Mel Gibson earlier, Braveheart. We've got so many things out there on the internet where specifically on YouTube, where we specifically go and watch these cutscenes of these scenes of movies where there's just pure violence.
And I agree with you.
And I think that is the biggest makeup
I would make the claim, and I have from personal experience, I would make the claim that just like I watch any of those scenes, I have watched the clips from Mad Max over and over again on YouTube.
I have as well, but I'm...
So how can you make the argument that it can't be on the Mount Rushmore of action movies?
It can be on the
Mount Rushmore.
It can be on the Mount Rushmore of movies.
The fisticuffs is getting to you, boy.
It can be at the top. It can be at the top, right? But not the highest. It can be in the top 10, but not number one. It can be in the top five, but not number one.
I don't think
one.
You can limit a movie because of the rules. I think if the movie
it's not limiting a movie because
rules,
of the rules,
it could be.
It's limiting it by
section. Better.
It's literally. It's. I'm just saying, literally, that there's better stuff out there.
Eliezer, you look like you're having a nice time there. Why don't you tell us?
Tell us what you're thinking.
So
much time on Mendel.
What do you think on us? What do you think about what
we're
saying?
So much time on me.
Yeah, you think 30 minutes talking about Shrek, you know?
And panties.
I mean, it's underwear, but.
And guess what else?
Why'd you say panties?
Fisticuffs!
Minimalistic fisticuffs.
I'm okay, so happy that I gave you a new favorite word.
That's my new favorite word.
So I thoroughly agree with everyone that these are three.
That they're all three the best.
Yeah.
That
you agree with
they
all three.
Are three of the best action movies that we have to date.
Mm-hmm. Are you going with your homeboy, though?
But none of you brought up the biggest action star in the world.
Robert Downey Jr.?
James a Franco. Man who has pretty much...
Tom Cruise.
Pretty much solely...
He's going with Tom Cruise, boys.
Solely done action movies in the past 10 years.
Calling it right now.
Because he has no range?
What?
I was whispering Sylvester Stallone.
Tom Cruise?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Tom Cruise has so much range.
You're not
first
wrong
of all,
on that.
Calm down there. Okay, second of all, he said for the past 10 years he only did action.
So
movies,
it's either that or Bruce Willis.
Tom Cruise.
Bruce Willis would make sense.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Hey!
You Scientologist.
What?
He's a Scientologist. He's a massive Scientologist.
Oh, okay. That doesn't matter to me.
I mean, like, it should.
No, it really doesn't.
You should be looking up to somebody who's a Scientologist.
I'm not looking up to him. As long as he does well in his movies, I don't care what he does outside of them.
That's fine. No, that's fair.
Hashtag Johnny Depp.
Am I living with him? No. Do I care what he does outside of the screen?
No.
What was
the last Johnny Depp
very bad.
Weinstein movie you saw? See, I went with both sides there.
Here's the thing. They haven't put out stuff in a while.
Who?
Harvey Weinstein or Johnny Depp.
George.
But you're staying up to date.
That just came out there. There's very, very different things going on there. So, both sides.
And now you can guess
but
that.
But it's Mateen that you bring him up after they just... The reviews came out that Top Gun 2 is like the best movie of the year. And
Top
like
Gun Maverick, yeah.
Possibly the best movie of like the last 5 years.
But I'm going for a lesser known and a more discreet Tom Cruise movie.
Mission Impossible.
No.
Rain Man.
No.
Jimmy McGuire.
Edge of Tomorrow.
No.
Show me
no.
the money.
It's Jerry Maguire.
Jerry. No, I'm going with Jack Reacher.
That's kind of like a weak man John Wick.
Yeah,
that's following the John Wick.
No, the weak man John Wick is the Bob Odenkirk movie, the Nobody. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Great movie.
That's a good movie.
But that is. But this is not.
Also, the
this is not.
I think is better than a lot of these.
This is not.
No, Jack Reacher is a weak man. Yeah. What's the Jeremy Renner guy? Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne.
He's a weak man. Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne's better than Matt Damon.
Yeah,
but then it became Renner.
He's not Jason Bourne in that movie. Aaron Cross or something. It literally goes according to the books if you read them. But anyway,
Jack Reacher is an army cop who he was born in the States and then left to serve, and he was a cop in multiple wars, organizations, multiple places. He came back to the States after finishing his service and disappeared. No one had heard of him or from him since he came back. Mm-hmm. And then we watched the open. Firstly, there are no words until 8.5 minutes in.
What?
There are no words.
Because there's the sniper.
We watch a sniper take out 5 civilians from a parking garage.
Yeah.
So it's a romantic movie.
And we see Jai Courtney playing Charlie, who also played Captain Boomerang in the in Suicide Squad movies.
Who, by the way, is fantastic in this movie.
Phenomenal. And we see him take the shots. We then see the police collect evidence that says that James Barr was the killer.
And we see them
arrest him. And we see the first words are questioning James Barr.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't speak. He doesn't say anything. He's sitting there quietly. And they give him a notepad to confess. And he writes in big letters, get me Jack Reacher.
I was thinking John Wick still.
Yeah, no,
get
not
John Wick. They killed my dog.
Get Jack Reacher. And they're like, who the hell is Jack Reacher? So they're doing research on him. And there's a narration of who he is. And we watch Jack Reacher get to them. And they say, all right, how do we find this guy? And one of them says, he's not a type of guy you find. He's the type of guy that finds you. Then the secretary knocks on the door and says,
literally a second
hi,
later.
There's a Jack Reacher here to see you. And they're like, oh, how'd he do that? But we watch as Jack Reacher meets Rosamund Pike's character, Helen, who is the daughter of the DA played by Richard Jenkins. And they're working against each other because she's a defense attorney. He's the DA.
Yeah.
Defense attorney?
No, district attorney.
Is the scene, the bar scene, is that this one or the next one?
That's this one.
So, to Mendel's point, I've watched that scene on YouTube so many times. Great scene.
Rosamund Pike's character, Helen, convinces Jack Reacher to take the case because he says that Barr was a person that trained his whole life to kill. And he gets to war to sit for hours on end just watching people, ready to kill them, but doesn't. He was a sniper. And then he's told the war's over, go home. He never got that itch out. So what does he do? He goes up to the roof one day.
Are they trying to justify killing? Or?
No. He goes up to the roof one day. He finds 4 people that happen to be standing. Like, he finds conditions that are good for killing, and then he goes and he finds these 4 guys and he kills them. Happens to be that they were 4 sex traffickers and drug lords. He didn't know that. He was just killing people, but he got away with it, and the army kind of let him go because he killed these terrible people. He then is accused of this murder that he knows he didn't do.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He gets Jack Reacher, who he know will find all the evidence to make sure that he is set free, and will do it for him. Now, he is attacked on his way to prison and is in a coma for the rest of the movie.
Damn.
Yeah.
Jack Reacher has to figure this out all on his own with the help of Helen. But he goes through this entire crime organization. And in the bar scene that Ezra was talking about, these goons were hired to pretty much beat him up and kill him. And there are five guys and one girl.
The ones and that girl?
The five guys and the girl.
They were hired?
They were hired.
Yeah, they were hired.
I don't remember that.
As he's laying on the floor being arrested, he looks over at one of the guys he just beat up and asks, who hired you?
Really?
He knows that they were hired. Because when the girl comes over and says, hey, what's your name? And he doesn't say Jack Reacher. She looks a little bit confused because she was expecting Jack Reacher. But nobody knows that Jack Reacher is there except for the DA, Helen, and...
Jack Reacher himself.
The other detective. So he knows that one of them is a rat to this organization. And he basically says, there are five of you. He's like, all right, we can do this inside or outside. And he's like, we'll do it outside. He's like, pay your bill. He's like, pay your bill. And the guy's like... I'll pay it after. He's like, you won't be able to. He's like, it's five against one. He's like, no. It's three against one. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, once I take you
Such
out,
a good scene.
The leader,
yeah,
there will be two enthusiastic goons that try and take me on. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, the last two always run.
Yeah.
And we watch.
Crazy generalization to make, by the way.
We
like,
watch.
You don't know these people or their history,
right? But he's
they might be all gangsters.
Saying he's
like
done this before.
Rangers, I don't know.
He's been there.
So this is the thing. This is the whole thing about Jack Reacher. He's so intuitive. He understands people from his, based on his military record. He understands people so well that he could tell from just a glance. It's kind of like a Sherlock Holmes thing.
Yeah, he is a very violent Sherlock Holmes. So we
Sherlock
watch,
Holmes is pretty violent.
He is, but he's
no, but
like, he's pretty violent.
He's a little more grotesque and sadistic, but
yeah,
this is a lot more.
So he goes through and he's working this mystery with Helen, and all the evidence fits to Barr. But what Jack realizes is that it's everything was set up. Everything was too easy. He paid, he went to a parking garage. He paid the meter.
He thought to
who
check
pays
the coins.
For parking.
He the whole point is who pays for parking?
Not right. Only that, who decides to check the parking meter?
Right. So he
honestly
he,
like one
and,
detective
and he
was like really creative.
The,
hey, maybe he paid. Maybe it was just a habit.
He didn't change his plates. He left the shells of the bullets there at the crime scene. It didn't add up to something that someone so experienced would do.
Yeah.
So he's going in with this massive suspicion, and he works through this crime organization, and he does himself realize that the shooting conditions that he was in were not ideal. They're not like the ones in Baghdad when he actually killed those people. The sun was facing behind him, and he had a rug under him to gather the shells and everything. So so we see Jack Reacher go through this whole organization. He goes, he finds his shooting pal. He finds Bard's shooting pal. He helps him out in the final battle, and the final battle is really just Jack Reacher. Being
Jack Reacher.
Ridiculously well trained in guns, hand to hand combat, understanding the psyche of a killer, all of this is within that final battle.
All right, but I got a question.
So it's
for
like
you.
John Wick, but for social, for
it's like John Wick, but more crime, but
and,
more crime.
Right,
than,
it's more crime,
crime
and more
John
mystery.
Wick. Murder's a crime, by the way.
Saying it's there's more. Crime, there's more like, mystery. There's more
yeah,
mystery.
Like
there's
mystery.
More thriller.
It's
I got a question for you though.
Yeah.
There's more to it.
Would you say, are you making the claim that the action in Jack Reacher, the hand-to-hand combat, is superior to the hand-to-hand combat action in John Wick?
Oh, not at all.
No.
Not at all.
But you enjoyed it more.
Oh, I
yeah,
thoroughly
no, honestly,
enjoyed it.
I thought these would be much better picks.
Like this. Listen,
know?
I didn't go for the best.
I, feel like
I
we're
went for my
a lot.
Favorite.
I feel like we're missing a lot
there's
of good
plenty.
Stuff.
There's plenty. All the Mission Impossibles.
I mean, no,
I'll give you. I'll give you what I can
Fast
tell you is
the
greatest, but like,
Fast
I don't know the reason none of those should be on the list.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
If we're looking
at World's End,
if you're arguing that's an action
honestly,
impossibility.
If
Transformers.
If we're looking at straight up hand to hand combat, Captain America: The Winter Soldier, Daredevil.
Daredevil.
Civil War.
No, Daredevil movie.
Civil War.
Not
as
just that one.
Not as good as Winter Soldier. What do you mean?
It's just the one scene in Civil War, that's it.
Yeah.
But no, like, okay, so the thing, like, he's right. We've missed a lot of really
but
good movies out there.
But we're also only four people sure. giving subjective
opinions. So the movie I was going to pick This is a movie. This is a movie which is like John Wick on steroids. If you think John Wick is violent, so this is John Wick on steroids. It's called The Raid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course. Heard of
not
it.
Too Amazing. Many people know about this movie.
No,
it's not as
it's
common
critically
as you
acclaimed.
Think. It's critically acclaimed, but not as many people know about it as you. As
I think
you
when
think.
It was released, it was very popular, and now it's more of like a cult classic.
Yes, I'd say that now. But when it was released, it actually wasn't as popular as you think. It was popular enough that it got critically acclaimed, but not enough that it had like a huge fan base. This is it's literally like a kind of Dread kind of scenario.
Great movie. Also,
where the guys they're literally raiding an apartment. Building full of thugs and gangsters, and that is the most ultimate gore violence that you could possibly get. I think that that was John Wick on steroids, but it's just not as well known. That's
James
why I
Bond.
Think that
we
Bond
missed.
Is too much.
Skyfall?
No, I mean, first of all, Casino Royale is the best one.
Casino Royale.
But
Bond,
like,
the
I was
best,
thinking,
we're talking
they're
action,
not they're not
Skyfall.
action movies. There's so much
Skyfall
more to it.
At the end, it's like very Home Alone-y.
There is action to it, but like, there's so much
again,
more to those
we
movies
going
that
for
I think
action,
they
action.
Otherwise, I would have gone with Casino Royale for sure.
Okay, so I think that we've all
let's go around the table.
Let's go around the table.
So winner gets the hammer. Here's what we're gonna do. Now that we have brought props, we are going to have two competitions. Our interpersonal rankings.
Okay.
And there's the fan rankings.
Oh.
Okay. Now, in order to be worthy.
We all know the fan rankings don't matter because this isn't a democracy.
Does this mean that the winner gets the hammer next episode?
So, what will happen is that the winner of our debates gets to play with the sonic screwdrivers and actually use them.
I'm playing with them.
You're not using them, though.
But I don't need to win. I'm still playing with them.
And the winner of the fan poll becomes worthy. Of Mjolnir.
Fair.
That was the screwdriver, so other people can experience
it. I do feel like a lot of fans are going to go for fan favorites more than movie favorites.
No, I disagree. I think that, I think they're going to go for this is a very particular one.
During each poll, and we as the hosts and as participants are here vowing to not text other people to vote for them.
Yeah,
because that is something that has been done. I am someone that has done that.
Everyone got to do it. It's not a high five. This is your vow.
This is the vow.
This is the vow.
This is the nerd vow.
This is the nerd vow.
Nope. Ezra.
That's the Mad Max vow.
Ezra.
Let him do his Mad Max vow.
This is the fisticuffs vow.
So we're all thinking it back. Don't worry.
As real life members, we vow not to make the polls. Unfair.
Can't promise.
Just live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Now we seal it with the fisticuffs. We are going to do our picks. Mendel, give us your 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, so you guys all know how I feel about action movies. I will definitely, if I had to rank in the top 10, and I said that Ezra's Mad Max Fury Road would be in the top 10. I would actually put Mad Max Fury Road ahead of Jack Reacher. Nothing against your pick.
Oh, good.
It's definitely a fantastic pick, but when compared to the others, it kind of just gets a bit. It kind of gets a bit drowned out. Mad Max Fury Road, because like Ezra says, yes, it's out of the box. It definitely falls along the lines of action. I don't think it's the best action movie out there, but out of the picks that were put on the table, obviously besides my pick, it's definitely the best. I'd follow close behind, I say, by Jack Reacher, just because it's like there's a certain thrill to Jack Reacher, a little bit slower, but definitely a thrill there.
Yeah, it's a slow burn.
And I think that I before action, I would love Star Trek for sci-fi. When I think of Star Trek, I think of sci-fi more than I think of action.
Yeah.
Not to take away that there is action, and there's fantastic
definitely
action.
Fair point.
But as you know, bro, I'm a sci-fi guy. Sci-fi fantasy is my jam. Like
I've seen
your search
history. I know you love sci-fi.
I'm in the middle of The Expanse.
I appreciate that at the end of the whole the banter and the back and forth, we're able to put down
the
our fists.
We can bury the hammer.
You know, just say straight out like,
so yeah, it's just
what truly is the best movie.
It was a play on the prop. Anyway, I think that I just feel like when I personally think about it, I think of Star Trek more towards the sci-fi genre than I do towards the action genre.
So Mad Max 1, Jack Reacher 2, Star Trek 3.
Yes.
Daniel?
Can you guys come back to me? I want to think about it a little bit more.
Ezra?
Alrighty.
That's very diplomatic of you.
No, I mean, I think I already know the picks, but I don't want to regret anything, you know?
So here's the story. I've never actually sat through the whole John Wick. I've basically watched all of John Wick in YouTube bits. I've seen like every part of it on YouTube. My favorite scene actually isn't the action. It's when he gets all the guns and he's like ordering out takeout. And don't forget dessert. And then he gives him like a hand grenade. The knives, sorry. You know, I love that whole, you know, code talk, but it's like fancy. And it's like, oh, going classy or, you know, casual. So I definitely think I gotta put John Wick as my number one.
Okay.
Again, just because I don't feel like it fits the category as much. I feel like Mendel said, like, I think that if this was the science fiction, the sci-fi episode, I think that Star Trek easily has the shot at taking the crown. But I have to hand it to also Jack Reacher, because playing by the rules that Mendel brought out, I have watched several of those scenes dozens of times on YouTube because it has those iconic, you know, just waste of time, but good waste of time action scenes. So I'll go one Wick, two Reacher, three Trek.
All right.
Daniel?
So, yeah, I'm thinking I'm easy pick number one for sure.
Okay.
Mad Max. It was very tough between you two because I think there's more to your movie, but his movie is definitely just more enjoyable to watch if it's just about action.
All right.
So I think I'm going to end up going with John Wick as my second.
And all right.
You're not taking both. You can have one. You get all right. A pick of one.
And
you get one.
You can pick which one you want, but no.
What,
is
it,
get
what
one.
Does it do?
Not much.
You're the top breaker, Eliezer.
So
this.
I'll explain. I've never I'll watched explain
Doctor
that to Strange you before. Doctor Who?
Oh my god! Strange,
oh my god!
Knows.
That literally is a death sentence in this room.
Good
How
lord!
Dead.
No, you know what would be even worse is if he actually called the doctor Doctor Who.
Oh, Doctor Who? I'm sorry.
No one calls him Doctor.
Is his
who.
Last name like Who?
So. My picks. You know what? I'm actually gonna I'm gonna change it right now.
No, don't change. All right, fine. Don't change on other people based on other people's picks, though. We should write.
Yeah,
it
you should stick.
No. Not on other people's picks. On just the fact that Ezra just said that.
Going. I was gonna get a sweep. You can't reprive me
you
of
weren't,
a sweep.
You weren't. I'm going John Wick number one.
Fair.
Going Mad Max. Star Trek at number two.
Oh, okay.
Mad Max at number three, making Mendel our champion.
What?
What?
Yes.
Oh, look because you want to end that with screwdriver?
John Wick had
twist.
Two because ones.
If he put Mad Max as second, we would have tied.
No, yep. I know. He did that on purpose because he doesn't want to waste the screwdriver with someone who doesn't know what the screwdriver
firstly,
is.
Firstly, yes. So John Wick is at number one with
that's
two number one picks.
You win, don't worry.
Two number you one picks and a number two.
So
Mad Max is at number two with 2-1 picks and a three. Jack Reacher is at number three with 2-2s and a three, and Star Trek is at number four with 3-3s and a two. We will be continuing with this video format for as long as we can.
Probably 5-10 years, right?
Yeah, for the next millennium, if we're being completely honest. As long as there are reels, we will be
these
making
cameras,
it our life.
These cameras will follow me through my...
What's it called?
Through my assassin stage. These cameras will follow me through my assassin stage when I become a world-famous assassin.
Like a sonic dildo.
These cameras will follow Eliezer through his detective stage when he becomes a world-famous Jack Reacher lookalike. The cameras
I'm okay
will
looking
probably
like Jack Reacher.
Follow... Yeah, the cameras will follow because you'd be a couple inches shorter.
Hey.
I mean, Tom Cruise is short.
Just it's his ridiculous religious beliefs.
Okay. And then,
which
then
I'm
obviously
kidding.
Follow
can't
Ezra through his desert. And
jokes.
Then sometime in the future, we'd obviously, to the stars and beyond, be following with cameras.
Now, as I said, the worthiness of Mjolnir is up to you guys, the fans, to let us know who you think is the most worthy to wield the ultimate weapon. And... we will be putting a poll on the Instagram. You'll let us know what you think of which pick is the best. And you'll let us know what you think is the best action movie. And you can also let us know what you thought of the episode and what episodes you would like us to cover. I believe that we will be covering some Star Wars soon, being that Obi-Wan Kenobi is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Ben?
Well, so we're getting close to our 20th episode, so
we got
some special things planned.
We have some special episodes planned. Really, stay tuned. But this has been Real Life. You can let us know on the Instagram and on the Twitter. Twitter is
you say the Instagram and the Twitter like such a boomer.
Oh, yeah.
It hurt.
all caps, R-E-E-L underscore lowercase L-I-F-E underscore. That's real underscore life underscore. And the Instagram is R-E-E-L-L-I-F-E-P-O-D-C-A-S-T. That's real life podcast. No uppercases, no spaces, no underscores.
No nothing.
No nothing?
No nothing.
No nothing. Have a good day, guys. Have a
great
good night.
Day.
You know what? Cheers. Have a good everything.
It's still the morning. I haven't started my day.
Have a good happy Kwanzaa, my guy.
Kwanzaa. Stay tuned for scenes from our next episode.
No, we don't do that.
Yeah, no, I'm joking.
We don't do that.
Real life, where the real meets your life. With Eliezer Lev, Ezra Snuggle, Daniel Dolphin, and Mendel Zlotnick.
All our shows and podcasts available online on our website and on all podcast platforms. Search Audioversity. Call her Universita.